This is an iHeart podcast.
Show, let's have some fun
on a Monday,
a Medal of Honor Monday, and I just need you to buckle up because here's where this ride is going tonight. It's gonna be a wild one. We're going to talk about genocide. Somebody ate someone else, a listener of the show. I'm not joking. Wait till I get to that. It's Medal of Honor Monday. An hour from now, that's going to be wild. We're going to talk more about late stage republics, great evidence of it out there right now. We're going to discuss what should be done with COVID people. Mayor Pete, CNN, Fauci, the works, all that is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'll even dump all over Joe Biden. I don't know where we're going. All I know is this.
We're changing people's lives.
What, Chris? And it's going to be a blast of a Monday. But before I get to any of that, I want to do something I've done rarely, but sometimes you open the show. And when I say you, I mean your emails. You know, you can email whatever you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I used to read them all. I don't do that anymore. We get way too many. The show got too big. I can't handle all of them. I don't have enough time. But they all go to Chris. He does print most of the ones out. And he gives them to me. If you write me a five-page college thesis, it's never getting to me. If you're just a deranged lunatic, it won't get to me unless it's funny. But for the most part, they get to me. And I got this one. It's a little long, but it's so good. I'm going to read it, and it's going to apply to you, and it's going to apply to me. I'll tell you, the reason I read it right before the show, and I thought, whew, okay, that was a lot, but I'm glad I read it. I want everyone to hear it. So here's what it is. By the way, as you know, let me set this up. I guess I should set this up. We've been talking extensively. It was actually a listener suggestion about our new You Voted for This campaign. We are anti-communists, first and foremost, on this show. The time for mommy in America is done. For too long, the right has coddled communists in this society. I want to be nice. Well, let's just be kind. Well, let's hear both sides. For too long, when the communist has started discussing politics, we have shrunk from that, shied away from it. I don't want to upset the family. I don't want to do this. For too long, we've stood by while our Democrat voting neighbor complains about gas prices after the guy they voted for shut down pipelines and oil refineries. For too long. So we're done with that now. We are now going to embark on a You Voted for This campaign. When your friend says, man, I can't, geez, the cost of beef. You voted for this. You voted for Biden. You voted for this. Man, I can't believe, gas prices. You voted for this. Jesse, did you see, it's crazy. They got some drag queen dancing for kids down at the library. You voted for this over and over and over again. Here's one man's story. Jesse, I come from a neoliberal / radical centrist family that believes itself to be conservative. Ever since early March of 2020, I've been pretty loud about how disappointed I am at everyone around me and the knee-jerk panic response to COVID, perhaps the greatest unforced error in the history of the human species. But while half of my family have been diehard Trump fans, the guy says a little too loyal to him if you ask me, the other half is never Trump, Republican kind that believes everything the corporate press says. While I haven't condemned anyone yet for voting, because who knows if their vote is actually even being counted anymore, I do condemn them for their complacency when courage was called for. My wife and I were uninvited from Thanksgiving that year for refusing to wear masks during the car ride and at family gatherings. In the summer of 2021, my sister-in-law thought she could casually insult vaccine-hesitant coworkers around me, and she began a screaming tantrum at me in front of everyone, even upsetting her own children. In November of 2021, my brother brought up the ongoing Kyle Rittenhouse trial and how Kyle should be in prison the rest of his life. I remembered from Medal of Honor Monday, the 17-year-old recipient Harold Lucas, and told his story, explaining how brave 17-year-olds have been defending their communities with valor since long before this country even started. and turned into another event where my father pulled me aside and told me that while I was right, I shouldn't bait my brother into ruining a family weekend. I had to look my own father in the face and tell him for the first time in my life that his advice was wrong because I never capitulate to cowardice. A similar outburst happened this past January when I objected to his making fun of January 6 prisoners. Just like the last several times, I never raised my voice, never threatened anyone, never stormed off, and never faltered. My message to the Jesse Kelly audience is this. You voted for this campaign will be hard. It will make a scene. You will be uncomfortable where you stand, but stand you must. The enemy is so pathetically few, but their strength flexes in the void of principle and spirit in our everyday lives. It falls apart if you look it in the eye, and brothers, we have the religious conviction to stare without blinking. Guy finishes it off with this. Alexander Solzhenitsyn once wrote, "The simple step of a courageous man is not to take part in the lie, to not support deceit. Let the lie come into the world, let it even dominate the world, but not through me." Dang. It's well done. I read it because it gave me a moment. It gave me a moment thinking about friends, neighbors, coworkers. Got a little family reunion coming up a little later on this year. They're not all on the right, though most are, and there will be some there making a scene about something because they always do it. And listening to him talk about his experiences brought it home for me. Hopefully it brought it home for you. That's our journey now. That's our challenge now. You've got a Democrat friend in New York complaining to you about crime. The time to shrink away from that is over. Mommy time is over. Daddy time is here now. We are in too desperate of a situation to allow this to continue. It is time. It is time to make them see the consequences of their actions. Because right now, the problem we have is this, and it's a huge problem. This is actually all of Americans. Well, not all of us, but many Americans. Americans have divorced their own actions from the pain they see and feel around them. They have. Let me ask you something, and I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. Be honest with yourself. Let me ask you something. Do you know somebody, someone in your life, maybe it's someone close to you, but it doesn't matter. Do you know somebody in your life who was supportive of stopping anything in this country for a virus? Do you know somebody? You do. Chris does. I do. I know. I know friends on the right who were. Jesse, it's only a couple weeks. Jesse, it's still a month. We don't know what we voted for. We don't know what this virus is. Jesse, we don't know. Now, let me ask you something else. Do you know somebody in your life who supported stopping the economy for a virus, who now complains about the fact the value of the dollar is dropping and dropping and dropping every single day? Do you know someone who complains about those two things? Have I had the courage to say, you voted for this? They don't know. They don't make the connection. And I don't even want you to do this to be mean, although meanness is a nice side benefit when you're dealing with the jerk. I say this to you because this is a nation that got so fat and so rich and so bored that we have lulled ourselves into some despicable complacency where we feel as if nothing we do, nothing we experience is our fault at all. It's all them and this guy and that guy and this guy, and I can't believe what you did, and this is crazy. I actually had to have this conversation. Maybe the reason this is on my mind this weekend. We have we did a little dart tournament. You know I'm an elite athlete. We did a little dart tournament at a sports bar locally. And one of my buddies that shows up there, he is, if you talk to him extensively, you would not think he votes Democrat. Again, shares your values, shares my values. If there's some half-naked drag queen shaking his penis in front of a group of kids, my buddy is mortified. My buddy's mortified about gas prices. My buddy's mortified about us having a bunch of cabinet members who are weapons-grade idiots. He's mortified by the fact the president can't speak.
And I had these terrible headaches, was diagnosed with having anyway, they had to take the top of my head off a couple times.
We play the videos. We send them. We have a group text message, even though I don't really do those. And the videos go out, and we all laugh, and my buddy laughs too. Ah, it's so embarrassing. I'll be honest with you. It was a couple beers in. But I told him this weekend. I told him on Saturday. Now, I did it the best way I could do it, and we're still friends. But I told him, man, why do you laugh at this stuff? Why do you complain about this stuff? Why? You know that you did this, right? That's your guy. And you could tell it hit him like a ton of bricks. You could tell he was offended, but knew I was right. And he came up with, you know what he said back to me? Well, no, I voted in Texas. It didn't matter anyway. And I wouldn't let him get away with it. I said, no. You did this. You own it. You did it. Change your behavior or stop complaining. You voted for this will be hard. It will involve arguments. It might make Dad uncomfortable. But mommy time must end. It's time for Dad because we are in a bad way. How bad of a way are we in? Woo! I'll tell you in a second. It is the Jesse Kelly Show embarking on the always uncomfortable you voted for this campaign. It is going to be such a spicy night. So let's bring this up again. And this, I should warn you ahead of time as I try to do. I try to warn you when something's going to be offensive. There's a really good chance I'm about to offend you. And the reason I try to warn you is just the wife has been working on me lately more and more, trying to... definitely not lecturing, but trying to reveal to me that I can be harsh when I'm not trying to be harsh, when I'm just speaking like I speak. She was just trying to be as gentle about it as possible, that it can come off a little harsh and offensive. So I'm trying to be better about warning you when it's coming. So I'm not going to change. I can't change the way I talk. So this is going to offend you, possibly. Nevertheless, it's true. You voted for this. You voted for this. You voted for this. I'm going to read a couple numbers for you here. Just stay with me. Don't get bored. I won't make it boring, I promise. But this is, I'm actually looking at America's proposed budget. This is from 2016. All right, this is 2016. The budget, just it's around $4 trillion, $4.1 trillion, but we're not going to major on the minor here. So we have a $4 trillion budget in America. Okay? $4 trillion. $1.3 trillion of it is Social Security. $1.1 trillion of it is Medicare. So that's well north of half. Medicare specifically, let's focus on that in a moment. Do you know when Medicare is going to be insolvent, when they're going to run out of money? Now, I want to be clear about something. Pause. When I say run out of money, if you're currently right now on Medicare, as my own parents are, the checks aren't going to stop coming, but there are going to be changes. The coverage won't be as good. They'll start dropping the compensation. You'll have fewer medical options, or, and it's probably a combination of these two, they will either tax you more and more or just print more money to destroy the value of your dollars. So yes, you still have your Medicare but can't afford your rent. Do you know when that day is coming? 2028. 5 years. 2028. I'm not talking distant future. I'm talking, you can sniff it. It's almost here. All right? Now, I just told you about the budget. I just told you the date when it's running out, and that's just Medicare. Social Security is actually in even a more dire situation. Now I'm going to play something for you, and I was originally mad at him. I'm going to play you John Kennedy, a senator from Louisiana. A senator I actually like Kennedy a lot. But when I first heard this clip, I got mad at him. I thought, how ridiculous. And then I realized, Jesse, what a hypocrite you are, talking about going on a "you voted for this" campaign, and you're blaming Kennedy for this?
In this town, you have to watch what people do, not what they say. The president can try to blame the Republicans and say, well, they don't want to seriously negotiate about controlling spending and controlling debt. All they want to do is cut Medicare. He already did it. He did it in December.
We're not the ones who want to cut Medicare. Democrats are the ones who want to cut Medicare. We'll never cut your Medicare, Social Security guys. It'll be around forever. Okay, well, one, that's lying to the voters. No, it won't. Financially, that's a math equation. Financially, it won't. We should be having the discussion how we can save it for as many people who need it to survive, because many people right now listening to the sound of my voice, they go homeless without their Social Security or Medicare. Maybe we should focus on that. But you know what? We'll set all that aside. We're going to set aside what should be done with it for a moment. How much of an indictment is it on us, the American people? Not Kennedy, not the Republicans, not the Democrats. How much of an indictment is it on us that there is a financial freight train that I don't want to say it's coming. It's almost here. We are at one end of the tunnel, and we can see the lights and hear the choo-choo at the other end of the tunnel. It cometh, and it cometh quickly. And still, the only two parties in power in the United States of America will campaign for the next 2 years on how they won't touch it and do anything about it. And we wonder why Washington sucks. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's us. You know why I'm not mad at Kennedy? You know why? Because if Kennedy stood up there and said what I just said, it's running out of money. We've got till 2028 to figure out how to cut costs, how to do something. Kennedy is going to have to go into some private business pretty quickly because he loses his next Senate campaign. We have a Democrat senator of Louisiana if he utters a word. And they all know it. Republicans know it. Democrats know it. So what I'm saying to you is maybe this applies to us. Maybe in 2028, when the real slash and burn starts for Medicare and Social Security, maybe the person we need to blame is the mirror. Maybe we need to go find a mirror in the bathroom and say, you voted for this. Well, that's going to hurt, no? All right. Speaking of disaster, Fauci might be arrested. Hang on. Yeah, Chris, I have no explanation for why my kids have no taste. I don't know what the deal is. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris and I were in a pretty in-depth conversation during the break. You see, what's happened is, and this happens to a lot of people in my life, in the words of the wife, have a, quote, unhealthy obsession with food. I admit this. I've admitted this to you several times. Everyone knows I'm white trash and I love to eat. It's what I enjoy doing. I eat. It's my vice. You know, I don't do cocaine. I don't have a second house. I don't have speedboats and jet skis. I don't have a gambling problem. I eat. I eat everywhere, everything. Anyway, because of that, I've had to introduce these two children at the office to decent food. Michael and Chris, because they're both 12, they don't know how to eat, so they need guidance from me, the menu whisperer. So I'm always ordering us food here at the office. I have elevated their pizza tastes to such a level that Chris was gone this weekend. He had to order Pizza Hut. It's all there was in the town. And he said it was just filth, just vile, just unedible filth. And this is the struggle I'm going through at the house right now. The kids, my boys, they prefer Papa John's. Now, I will tell you, as far as chain pizzas go, if you had to get chain, Chris, is there a better chain pizza than Papa John's, do we think? Little Caesars? Oh, Chris, I grew up on Little Caesars pizza. I know, but it's pretty bad anymore. The quality of Little Caesars. Anyway, Papa John's is about as good as you can hope for when it comes to chain pizza. Everyone in New York is ready to murder me right now, by the way, when I brought up Papa John's. But inedibly bad compared to this other stuff. This is what happens, Chris, when you raise your standards in life. This is what I've been talking to you about, raising your standards in life. And these kids, though, because, well, as I told them the last time they ordered Papa John's, because they have small, undeveloped brains that don't fully function yet, that's why they think this chain pizza is garbage. Anyway, let's go back to the United States of America and the impending collapse here. You may have remembered something. You may remember something called proximal origins. Proximal origins. Does that ring any bell for you? If not, don't stress it. Proximal origins. It was from 2020. It was a paper that said, "Hey, COVID. No way it came from a lab." It uses a bunch of fancy words, but that's basically what it said. No way this came from a lab. No way. And I remember Fauci got up and gave a press conference. Trump and Mike Pence standing right behind him at this press conference. And there's Fauci, about 3 feet shorter than Trump. He can barely see over the podium. I'm sure they gave him something to stand on to get up to the microphone after this paper was published. And Fauci said this.
There was a study recently that we can make available to you where a group of highly qualified evolutionary virologists looked at the sequences there and the sequences in bats as they evolve. And the mutations that it took to get to the point where it is now is totally consistent with a jump of a species from an animal to a human.
Well, courtesy of Republicans taking the House of Representatives, we now know Fauci was involved in the paper and gave final approval of the paper. Now, maybe you're rolling your eyes saying, "Jesse, proximal origins, lab leak stuff. Why does any of this matter?" Just stay with me here. You can't be in charge of the medicine in the country. You don't know about new viruses. I don't know about new viruses. I don't know. "Jesse, there's a new Chris virus out. It's really annoying." I'm sure I have to take your word for it. All right. I have to take your word for it. I don't know. You don't know. The people who run the United States of America are so broken, so corrupt. We are in such a late stage republic, and I've got a few things coming on this, that as soon as we got a virus here, they had two goals for the virus and only two goals. And I've got another example of this coming up. Make sure China doesn't get blamed and make sure Donald Trump does. Think, just pause for a moment. Think what that means for you as a country, for me as a country. Think what that means for us. Think how far along we are. I've got the second great example of it here. It's an even better one than that. Jeff Zucker, he used to run CNN. Well, I'm sure you remember people like me and others were clearly saying early on, this sounds like something that came from the virology lab in Wuhan. And we were all making fun of the fact that they were trying to tell us that, no, came from a bowl of bat soup. Remember that? They were talking about the wet markets, and it definitely came from bat soup. And Trump gets up and floats the theory, it sure sounds like it might have come from a lab. Jeff Zucker instructed all the people who work at CNN that they're not to discuss the potential lab leak theory. Why? Because Trump discussed the lab leak theory. So after a virus that you didn't know about and I didn't know about it arrived on the shores of the United States of America, one of the biggest media organizations, CNN, in the United States of America, decided to lie to the American people about its potential origins simply because that was something that Trump said? Do you know what that means for us as a nation? Because we're not talking about the past, actually, here. We're talking about the future. Let me bring this home for you. Tomorrow, China invades Taiwan. Missiles going off everywhere. Who do you believe about what the status is? that same afternoon. Let's say that happens tomorrow morning. We wake up and Chinese fighter jets are dropping bombs on Taiwan cities. Taiwanese? Is it Taiwanese, Chris? I went to community college. Is it Taiwanese? I knew I'd get that. Look, it was an accredited community college, Chris. But okay, the bombs are dropping. Biden gives a joint press conference that afternoon with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley. Joe Biden, Mark Milley, stand up there, joint press conference. And they say, this is a dire situation. We're sending divisions of Marines over there to fight in this situation because of this, 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 and this. Do you believe anything they tell you? Would you believe a single thing they said? But then it gets echoed that night on CNN. Joe Biden and Mark Milley, and we have verified this through our reporting. Look, remember, it wasn't just Fauci out there saying it.
The question about the Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
And there is simply no reason to believe that that is the case. There is no empirical evidence to verify that.
Coming up with a conspiracy theory to try and foment xenophobia with respect to the Chinese has just as much factual support as taking Clorox.
One eternity later.
The FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
How broken are we? What can we trust? Do you see what I mean? Forget about Taiwan. What if it's a new virus? There's a new virus out there. What if a new virus hits tomorrow? God forbid, 6 months from now, who would you ever trust in this government? Nobody. And that leads me to a theory of mine, one I've floated before, but one we're going to discuss here briefly, and we'll get back to the death of everything. We have Medal of Honor Monday still coming. We may have been better off if Hillary was elected in 2016 and not Trump. And that's not an insult to Trump. It's an insult to the system. I will explain exactly why. Don't throw anything at the radio yet in just a moment. Now, before we get to that, let us get to your time. We talk about this a lot. We talk about time and money. You know how I have an unhealthy food obsession. You would know that if I showed you my bank statement. It's restaurant here. It's gas station nachos here. It is. You would know that. But your time, too. Do you put an effort where you spend the most time? Have you put an effort into your bedding at all? You know you spend one third of your life in bed, right? You won't spend a third of your life doing any other task like you will in bed. Have you taken the time to get a great pillow? MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free right now, and it has temperature regulating thread now. Go get a good pillow. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, reminding you you can always email the show your love, your hate, your death threats. Email those to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Now, we'd have been better off if Hillary would have won in 2016. Now, hold on. I'm obviously glad that hag didn't win. I'm glad Trump did win. I enjoyed 3 years of Trump's presidency. But when it comes to COVID, hear me out. This is an indictment of how broken our system is. I want you to think about this. I just talked about Jeffrey Zucker instructing an entire news organization to dismiss the lab leak theory. Why? Because that's what Trump said. But I want you to think broader about how the system responded to Trump under COVID. Remember when Trump touted hydroxychloroquine? Remember when he did that? Do you remember the outright mockery of that thing under Trump? But it was more than that. You remember, I've played it for you 1,000 times on the show, when Joe Rogan got COVID, treated it with ivermectin, went on his big show and said he treated it with ivermectin. You remember the media, including the FDA, it was much more than just the media. The media rallied to call it horse dewormer. All of them called it horse dewormer. Now, let's just pause on that for a moment. Let's pause on just that part of it for a moment. Let's think, remove Trump from it. We all get our heart broken and Hillary wins in 2016. COVID gets here. Would the American media, would America's medical establishment, especially government medical establishment like Fauci, would they have been anxious to pin the blame on anyone other than China? Who are they going to blame? You can't blame Hillary. Hillary's one of us. So they would have blamed China, probably. But even if they didn't blame China, think how the system would have treated any potential treatment under President Hillary Clinton. Every single one. They would have acted like she concocted it in a lab when she was done murdering people. They would have acted like it was the most brilliant thing ever. That's the truth. It would have been Hillary the savior. Oh, thank you, Hillary. Ivermectin. Let's name it after Hillary. That's what it would have been. And not only that, think how they would have treated COVID itself. You know, the virus that 99.9% of people survive? Would they have whipped the public up into some horrible frenzy over and over again? No, they would have been trying to tamp it down. Don't worry, St. Hillary is on it. She has already invented hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. God knows how many lives President Hillary has saved. Plus, this virus isn't even that serious. No, we're not going to shut down our business. We can't ruin Hillary's great economy. Now, I'm not doing this just to have a fun alternate history. I'm doing it so it comes home more for all of us just how broken this system is and how we're supposed to deal with this stuff going forward. I know everyone's talking today about this terrorist attack going on right now in Atlanta. A bunch of Atlanta Antifa types, including a Southern Poverty Law Center lawyer, have been arrested for attacking some cop training facility down there in Atlanta, burning things, Molotov cocktails, the works. Well, why does that happen? The Federal Bureau of Investigation doesn't even consider Antifa a domestic terrorist group, and they don't consider them a left-wing group. They walk around with hammer and sickle signs, but the FBI is so obsessed with arresting pro-life pastors for reading Bible verses and tracking down any poor January 6th guy who sauntered into the Capitol for 30 seconds that we have a violent, murderous, domestic terrorist group that's been operating in this country. But this is what we get.
But Ron, no, he's not scared of those people. He's scared of this fictitious idea of Antifa, a thing that doesn't even exist. He needs to go. He needs to go, and soon.
That may sound like a beached whale, but that's actually the voice of the FBI you hear there. Now, that was obviously The View, but that's exactly what the FBI has said time and time again. How much testimony have we played for you over and over again? Senators questioning them. Oh, no, we don't know. The FBI, we're not even looking into them. Wild when you think about it, right? Oh, you have more, Chris? Go ahead.
Under the anti-government category or subcategory of domestic terrorism, would that include groups like Antifa or Black Lives Matter, folks who commit violence or acts of domestic terrorism?
Well, we don't identify groups, but individuals' actions. So if individuals are committing actions that would be in furtherance of anti-government or anarchist ideals, then they would fall into that category.
So would you quantify Antifa as an anarchist group then under that subcategory? I mean, it's an anarchist group, right? Or related?
There are individuals, I think the director has previously described them as a movement, and there have been individuals that have associated or identified with Antifa that have conducted violent acts that we would categorize as anarchist.
Does that sound like the FBI is worried about Antifa? That's crazy when you think about where we are as a nation. Oh, I've got a great question here I want to answer. Before I get to this question, let me get to this really quickly here. folks have had quite a day with their dog, another health scare with their dog, and it brought home to me how many times I have had to bury a dog. It's pretty much the worst thing ever, is it not? It's the worst thing ever. Just, it's a part of your family's gone. I don't give Rough Greens to Fred because it fixed his digestive issues, although it did. I give Rough Greens to Fred because, as many veterinarians have written me, it's going to extend his life. It's going to extend his healthy life. You know that old dog of yours with some sore joints, stiff hips? You know Rough Greens could very well bring that dog back to life, right? Give you years more with your puppy. You're giving them nutrition for the first time ever because there's no nutrition in the dog food. But Rough Greens is packed full of vitamins and minerals and digestive enzymes. Man, delay that moment where you have to put your dog down. That's why I give it to Fred. That's why. Honestly, I know that makes me probably a softie, but that's why I do it. They got a free jumpstart trial bag right now. Roughgreens.com/Jesse, all right? Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Now, somebody has a question, and boy, is it a doozy. Now, we're going to have to do Medal of Honor first, Medal of Honor Monday, but then we're going to get into this question, and I took some time with it. Question is, what the heck is the thought process of these parents who take their kids to drag shows? Is it really just virtue signaling at the expense of the kids? Or do they somehow think that hanging out with pedophiles will be good for the kids somehow? Why do parents do this? I think about this all the time. Why? Where are the parents? Oh, wow, the parents are right there. What? Why? We'll talk about why in a second.
This is an iHeart podcast.